This morning's lesson will be entitled Passing the Test. I know that some of us are school teachers. I was for 35 years. I know Brother Robert in our audience is working through college as a college professor. Most of us are familiar with the song. It's the theme from the television show Friends. But have you ever caught the lyrics to the song? They read in part. So no one told you life was going to be this way. Your job's a joke. You're broke. Your love life's on DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. You know, some of us can relate to that first verse of that song more than others probably. Some of us have had bad days. Some of us have had bad weeks. And possibly stretched out even to bad years. We find ourselves talking like Eeyore and saying things like, whatever can go wrong, will go wrong. We have a pessimistic, browbeaten, downcast view of life. This morning, I'd like you to please turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and that will be our text today. We'll look at the first 14 verses of Genesis 22. In verses 1 and 2, it says, again, I'm going to paraphrase. I'd like you to read. I'm just going to paraphrase the meaning of what you're reading there. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering, as one on the mountains that I will tell you about. I had a college professor, being a math guy. I believe Brother Robert goes through science, political science, and things like that. So, but being a math, we are constantly tested in our skill and knowledge. So I had a college professor that told us that he would give us a test every week. He warned us that every day we should come to class ready to take that test. He says, you'll never know which day the test will be given. It might be on Tuesday, it might be on Wednesday, it might be on Thursday, or it might be on Friday. The good thing was it was never on a Monday. But the other 4 days, we had to be ready. So he says, therefore, you should always be prepared for the test. I am convinced that he really delighted in saying, with a gleam in his eye, on that morning, please take out a clean sheet of paper and a pencil. Today is test day. Personally, I believe that life is full of tests. I realized when I finished my college years, I rejoiced thinking that at last I would be free. When I finished my master's, I knew I was not going back for a doctorate. So I figured that was it. 1990. Finished with my master's in education, math education, I was done. Oh, no. I started to realize, be free of test. Because I discovered after graduating that I was really just starting in test taking. In every stage of life, there are tests. There are tests as children, your parents testing you. To see if you were going to be obedient. And then as adults, we're testing our children, but we're being tested at our jobs. You get married, and then there's definitely more tests to face in your married life. And then you have children, and a whole new set of tests arise. No matter which way we turn, we find ourselves being tested. And many of us are failing those tests, or at some point we have failed. Succeeding, passing a test, almost always brings a sense of satisfaction, though, doesn't it? But when we fail the test, when we don't measure up, there invariably is a bit of sadness or despair, or maybe deep down inside, even some shame. I have read the first two verses this morning of the 22nd chapter of Genesis. To set the stage, Now I want to see what God said to Abraham. He says, I'm going to give you a test. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I know that I would rather see God in a different light than a test giver. Giving a test. But it makes you pause and stop for a moment, doesn't it? I remember from the time I was young growing up, Adam and Eve. I always felt, Eve, it's all your fault. If you wouldn't have sinned, well, we would never be in this situation. But are we any different? It's easy to put the blame on somebody else. When you read, it's easy to say, well, I wouldn't have done that. I remember before I had children. My children will never act like that. And then you have children, and then you find, oh, your parents give you advice. Huh. Who do they think they are? They're really too old to give me advice. They don't understand. And then what do? Then we start calling, Dad, can you help me? I'm in a trouble. And then the first thing we do is call our parents for advice as we get older and start having our own house and our own children. And then as adults, we turn around and give our children the same advice our parents gave us. So we think about that. But we think of God as a test giver. As I read my Bible, I find repeatedly that God does test his people. He tests the people, and I'm convinced that he also is testing each one of us practically every day of our lives. So I ask you this question this morning. If God should come to us and say, today is test day, how would each of us do? I'm sure that some would pass, and probably some would fail. But please realize that I am not talking about a test of Bible knowledge. Rather, I'm talking about a test more like the one that Abraham took. It is a test of commitment, a test of faith. Many of us are familiar with the story that we find in Genesis 22. God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to give you a test. Take your son, your only son, by your wife Sarah, the son whom you love, to take him to Mount Moriah, and there offer him to me as a burnt sacrifice. Despite the shock of God's command, verse 3 tells us that Abraham obeyed. Early that morning, he started loading up the donkey, and he summoned two servants to go with him, while he took with him some firewood and fire, and they started their journey. Finally, at Mount Moriah, it was on the horizon, and he could see it in the near distance. And Abraham reached it. He told his two servants, stay here. This is verse 5. Now stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and they will come back to you. We will worship and then come back to you. So they continued just as Abraham and Isaac said. And then in verse 7, we see that Isaac asked a very difficult question to Abraham. He asked, the fire and the wood are here. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? What does Abraham have to answer to his own son? Verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb of the burnt offering, my son. So they go to the top of the mountain. Abraham builds the altar place. He places the wood on top of it. He ties the hands and feet of his son. He has to bind his own son and place him on the altar. And he takes his knife and he raises it into the air. With a breaking heart, he is ready to take the life of his own son and offer it to God. When suddenly, we read in verses 11 through 14, because of passing the test, because of being able to be willing to take on the test that God gave him. We know that God calls out and says, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. A test that I'm not sure I could have passed, but we see Abraham did. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns, And he went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it to the burnt offering instead of his son. We see God needed a sacrifice. Now when you go back to the wisdom of Abraham's words, not Abraham did not know that, but he said, when Isaac asked him the sacrifice, he said, God will provide. At that point, though, Abraham thought Isaac was going to be the sacrifice. Up until the point he was willing to carry it out. No hesitation. He was willing to carry out because that's what God asked. So Abraham called that place, as we continue reading in the text, he called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Well, that is basically the story. But I want you to realize that in this story, Abraham faced three separate tests. And that is our lesson this morning. The first one is the test of obedience. Now, right after God told Abraham to go to Moriah and sacrifice his son, the very next verse, verse 3, begins with these words. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. What if we would have been Abraham? And God told us that I want you to sacrifice your son. I would have tried to think of every possible reason, I'm sure, not to have to do this the way God had commanded. I'm sure Abraham had some good arguments that he could have used. He could have said, God, have you not forgotten? Remember, I was 100 years old and my wife was 90. God, you promised that through my seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Isaac is still only a little boy. He has no children. Have you forgotten your promise? How will we bless the nation? Abraham could have used very strong arguments to try to change God's mind, but he didn't. We think back, and that's what kind of led to this thinking along these lines. We think back when we study with Moses. Moses, remember, was arguing with God. I have slow speech. He was trying to give God every reason why he shouldn't go back. But we know he did. Abram, offering his only son, was willing to carry it out. No questions asked, you would say. Did not state a thing. We don't see any other than what was his only words. Here I am. God called to him and he just said, here I am. Like, I'm an obedient. I think it makes me think of that song that we sing. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. I'm here waiting, Lord. That is hard to understand in the day of today that we live in an optional obedience. We have a difficult time with the word obedience. Every time someone issues a command, we immediately start to think of reasons why we don't have to obey the command. We think of loopholes, as you say. In this day, when rioters burn and destroy, it seems like they aren't arrested. When criminals commit crimes, it seems like they are not punished with the crime they committed. When children disobey teachers, oftentimes we don't see that punishment. Parents, when they are so lenient with their children, we tend to feel that we have an optional obedience. We don't have to obey. We don't have to obey if we don't want to. We think about the rights. And sometimes you have to stop and think when you listen to the court cases. That just common sense. Steve Harvey, I know he's a comedian and he's not really a judge, but he has an interesting show where they have people fighting, and really his instance is, just, he calls it the court of common sense. And I know some of it's just for more entertainment, but sometimes you have to stop and think. Common sense. And God has made commandments. But many people think about our rights and we don't have to do that. God didn't mean, how many people say, well, God didn't mean it. I know it says it in the Bible, but that was 2,000 years ago. God, I don't know that God would mean that now. God says, do what I say. And we answer, well, maybe I will. Maybe I'll. It depends on what the circumstances are. And I don't think there's a real punishment because God loves everything. But you see, that is contrary to everything that God's word teaches. There are volumes spoken about the wrath of God and the punishment of God when we disobey him. And we have not done well in the obedience department, have we? We know that God spoke to Adam and Eve and said, do not eat of the fruit of the tree. But they disobeyed. And God gave 10 commandments to Israel and said, do what I say. But they disobeyed. And so have we. Jesus came saying, I give you a new commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, being, and self. And love your neighbor as yourself. And we have not done well, some of us, in that obedience department. So I ask you, if God were testing your obedience, how would you do? It looks like Abraham got an A plus, as we would say. Without questioning or rebelling, Abraham did exactly what God asked him to do. Test number two is the test of self-denial. There's also a hard thing for us to accept today. We know that Abraham listened to God, and God was very explicit. He said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, Isaac. We know that Abraham followed. Isaac was the son that God had promised him, the son of Abraham in Isaac's old age. Abraham loved him with a greater love. But we see that that happened where he's willing to offer. Fathers often say in a macho way, I would be willing to suffer for my family. Most of us would, but I don't think there's any way around it. It is a different thing when you're asked to watch your family members suffer. And God is asking Abraham to do the hardest thing possible. He says, take your son, your flesh and blood, that son in whom you love, and offer him to me. Give him back to me. God says to Abraham, I want to take the most precious possession in your life and give it to me. We see the third test given to Abraham is Abraham's faith in God. Notice what Abraham says to the servants in verse 5. He says, we will worship and then we will return. I like that. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what to sacrifice. I mean, he thought that God was going to sacrifice his son, but he just said, I leave it in God's hands, more or less. He knew that God's command meant that he would have to offer Isaac, and yet in faith he said, we will go worship, and we will return. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen on that mountain, but the one thing he knew for sure was this, that the Lord would provide. He knew that. This is a childlike faith. No questions asked. The Lord will provide whatever the circumstances, whatever happens. Even if Isaac is dead, God is still going to provide. And we will return. I kind of like that kind of faith. It is a faith that never questions what God is doing. And it never argues with God. It is always being obedient to him. God, help me to mean it with all my heart when I pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, what about testing God? Time and time again, we read in the scriptures about the children of Israel testing God in the wilderness and asking for being free. So we hear Moses saying to the people, why do you put the Lord to the test? As we read in Exodus 17 and 2. Do not test the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 6 and 16. And we hear those words again from the lips of Jesus when Satan comes to tempt him in the wilderness after the baptism. Three times Satan tries to get Jesus to sin, to take the easy way out. But we know that Jesus rebuked him. And in Luke 4 and 12, it tells us, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So we look at all this, and we see in Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. We see that God always keeps his promise. Just as Abraham had passed the test, God has always passed the test. You can trust him to keep his word. What about us? Are we passing the test of obedience and denial and faith? Are we doing the most important test-taking on the face of the earth? Graduation time. For us, So for some of us, our graduation time, that day, that last day on earth, the judgment day, for some of us, can't be very far away. I pray that we are ready. You see, that's the point of this message. Regardless of the immediate outcome, when we do what is right, and when we are faithful to Him, He will be faithful to us. I'd like to close with this illustration. Several years ago, a submarine was being tested and had to remain submerged for many hours. And when it returned to the harbor, the captain was asked, "How did the terrible storm last night affect you?" The officer looked at him in surprise and exclaimed, "Storm? We didn't even know there was one." The sub had been so far beneath the surface that it had reached the area known to sailors as the cushion of the sea. And although the ocean may have whipped into huge waves by winds above, the waters below had never stirred. The Christian's mind will be protected against the distracting waves of worry if it is resting completely in the good providence of God. There, sheltered by His grace and encouraged by His Holy Spirit, the believer can find the perfect tranquility that only Christ can provide. Our last verse, read by Brother Jared this morning, Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving to God the Father by Him." My life now has purpose, and I've learned the true secret of genuine happiness. Have you? If not, whatever your need may be, you have the opportunity to make your life right as together we stand and sing our song of invitation this morning.